At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Ins Grab genommen, bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode. This time around, we got a brand new one for you, so you know what to do. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know through the normal ways, and those can all be found in the descriptions. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. And a big favor to those who already follow me, if you could take the time to please leave me a 5-star rating. That goes a long way into helping out the podcast. For feedback this time around, I'm looking to find out if the audiobook series should be its own podcast, so please think about it and let me know through the comments on Spotify or at mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
About time this hotel got a new lift. Instant, sure as fate. About time I got a new job, too. This musty old dump will send me nuts. And what's the number of Lady Portlock's room? 24. Yeah. Number 24. Morning, Lady Portlock. Yeah, still asleep, the old trout. Shall I draw the curtains, Lady Portlock? I hope it isn't too light for you. I brought you porridge, bacon and eggs. Lady Portlock. Lummy, she's dead.
The BBC presents A Case for Dr. Morell. The first in a new series of half-hour adventures by Ernest Dudley, with Cecil Parker as the famous Dr. Morell and Sheila Sim as his secretary, Miss Frail. Episode 1, Alarm Call.
There is no doubt that the criminal is a split personality, his mind unbalanced as a result of subconscious forces which constantly urge him onwards towards self-destruction.
Dr. Morell.
What is it, Miss Shawcroft?
Can you repeat that last point? I'm afraid I missed it.
You keep on missing what I'm dictating.
I'm sorry, but I'm so tired. Working late last night and having to be here again at the crack of dawn.
I'm perfectly wide awake.
Well, it's all very well for you, Doctor. You're just a human dynamo.
Let us proceed. I must finish these notes today. It's most important.
I hope you aren't expecting me to work till midnight tonight.
Well, if necessary, why not?
Because if you're a machine, Doctor, I'm not. And if you think I can go on like this, slogging away till all hours, you've got another thing coming.
Miss Shawcroft.
I got here at 7 this morning, and you expect me to go on...
In point of fact, Miss Shawcroft, you were 5 minutes late.
Listen to you! No wonder I'm the umpteenth secretary you've had since that Miss Frail left you. You're just not human, that's your trouble. Well, I am. I'm not made of clockwork, and I'm fed up with you treating me as if I was. So good morning to you, Dr. Morell, and goodbye.
Obviously suffering from a persecution complex. Now, where are those notes I was checking? Here they are. Mm-hmm. Oh, doubtless that will be Miss Shawcroft returning to apologize. I suppose under the circumstances I shall have to accede to her plea to be reinstated. So you've changed your mind.
Hello, Dr. Morell.
Miss Frail.
Did you think it was someone else?
I was expecting Miss Shawcroft returning to finish her work. Won't you come in?
Oh, I'm so glad you found somebody who also doesn't mind working all hours.
yes. We'll go to the study.
You're sure I'm not disturbing you?
Indeed, no, no. I'm eager to know to what I owe this unexpected pleasure. Please go in. Sit down.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, I was under the impression that you were happily employed in Bournemouth.
Oh, no, I've left Mrs. Padmore. She's gone to live in Dorset with a widowed sister.
You mean you've come to ask if you can return to me in your former employment?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no. I'm sure you're Miss Shawcroft, did you say her name was? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure she's taking care of you very well.
Yes, quite.
No, Doctor, it's Baroness Beauville. She's dead.
Whom did you say?
She lives at the Wigmore Hotel, just down the road. I work there as secretary to the manager.
So near, Miss Frail, and you hadn't been to see me?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I haven't been there long, and we've been awfully busy. But about Baroness Beauville, look, could I tell you on the way?
You want me to come to the hotel?
Yes, yes, that's why I rushed round to see you. Her death is a bit of a shock. Shall I get your hat and coat?
That's very kind of you.
I haven't forgotten where you keep them.
I'm gratified to know that you cherish some memories of me.
Here you are. Now, if we could hurry.
Thank you. So you're at the Wigmore Hotel?
Yes, though, frankly, I don't care for it over much.
Don't you, Miss Frail?
Oh, could we please hurry, Dr. Morell?
But of course, my dear Miss Frail, certainly. I mustn't keep you waiting.
This is the Wigmore Hotel reception. Very good, sir. I'll send the papers up to you at once.
If anyone wants me, I shan't be available for half an hour.
Very good, Mr. Winter.
When will I be here? Miss Frail's been gone about 10 minutes. Ah.
This is Dr. Morell, Mr. Winter.
I'm so glad you've come.
Only too happy to oblige, Miss Frail.
We'll go up to the Baroness's suite at once, Doctor. Miss Frail has put you in the picture.
Yes, Mr. Winter. I've told him what's happened.
It's on the second floor. I'm afraid the lift's a bit antiquated. It was a new floor waiter who made the sad discovery. He says he went into Baroness Beauville's suite by mistake and...
What time was this?
About 7:30. I went up immediately, of course. And Baroness Beauville had obviously been dead some time. Heart attack, I suppose.
Oh, poor thing.
Here we are. Miss Frail, Doctor. I'll lead the way. Have you informed the Baroness's companion, Miss Frail? Her name eludes me for the moment.
Mademoiselle Rollin. No, I must do that.
I'll phone her at her flat. Well, here we are. I locked the door, naturally. This is the sitting room. The bedroom's through here. And the Baroness was found exactly as you see her now.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see. As you surmise, Mr. Winter, she's been dead for several hours.
Heart attack, of course.
That is a matter which the post-mortem will decide. These appear to be sleeping tablets by her bedside.
The bottle's half empty, and the top's been left off.
I had observed that.
Doctor, you don't mean that it's...
It's what, Mr. Winter?
You don't think it's suicide, Dr. Morell?
Not necessarily.
Oh, you think she may have taken an overdose of these tablets accidentally?
I said that it is not necessarily suicide, Miss Frail.
Oh, I see.
Thank heavens for that.
Why should you seem so pleased?
I'm afraid I was thinking of the scandal attached to the hotel. I'm sorry to appear so callous.
Well, it's your duty to have your hotel's good name at heart.
Well, that's why Mr. Winter sent for you.
Well, these tablets are doubtless of the barbiturate class.
I know Baroness Beauville didn't sleep very well.
The effect of a small dose of barbiturates are unharmful, but the deceased's external symptoms suggest a coma which could have been induced by an excess of the drug.
This glass has some milk in it.
Well, doubtless she took her sleeping tablets in it. Nothing has been touched, Mr. Winter?
Nothing. But if it's an accident, I...
Oh, shall I answer it?
Thank you, Miss Frail.
Oh, I'd better pick it up with a handkerchief.
Well, of course, if it makes you feel any happier.
Hello?
Baroness Beauville, your alarm call.
Oh, it isn't the Baroness, but thank you.
The Baroness asked to be called at 8 a.m. It's 8 o'clock now.
Oh, it's only the switchboard, Doctor. Baroness Beauville's alarm call.
Shall we go back to the sitting room?
Yes.
Very well.
The Baroness.
Oh, what's happened? Oh,
this is Mademoiselle Rollin.
Monsieur Winter, is she...
This is Dr. Morell. I'm afraid that the Baroness...
I must go to her. She's dead. I know she's dead.
Oh, What an awful shock for her.
Will she be all right, Doctor?
She is best left alone in there. For the moment...
What is it?
Oh, this French novel here, open on the table. These sentences penciled underneath. Et maintenant, la dernière de mes amies est partie. La vie est vide. Je reste seul triste et seul.
And now the last of my good friends has departed. Life is empty. Only I remain sadly alone.
Brilliant translation, Miss Frail. How should I manage without your invaluable help?
Oh, Dr. Morell, it's nothing.
I noticed that the book is inscribed to Anthony Winter. Any relation of yours, Mr. Winter?
I am Anthony Winter.
You knew the Baroness well? The inscription is worded with some affection.
I met her in Geneva. She stayed at the same hotel where I was studying the hotel business.
I see. Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, she helped me to get this job as assistant manager here. She happened to know one of the directors.
I understand. I wonder if I might have a word with the waiter who discovered the body.
Of course. I'll find him at once and send him along to you.
Thank you.
Oh, poor thing. Are you all right, Mademoiselle Roland? I had a strange foreboding when I left her last night.
Foreboding?
What time did you leave?
Just before she retired to bed. About 8:45. I prepared her milk, set her alarm clock for 8 a.m., as usual, and left her reading.
Would that be the alarm clock that was by her bedside?
But, yes.
You omitted to notice that it has stopped at 9:03, precisely, so that it must have failed to ring, as you set it.
But that's... It's never gone wrong before.
Doctor, what time did the Baroness die last night?
I should estimate at between 10:30 and 11 o'clock.
Oh, I just wondered if it might have been at the same time as the clock stopped.
It is all so strange. My premonition, the clock stopping, and then early this morning I knew something was wrong. That was why I hurried here.
Well, Mr. Winter was going to telephone you.
You want to see me?
You are the waiter who found Baroness Beauville dead?
Yeah, of course I am. I never knew it was her then. I thought it was somebody else.
How did you come to make the error?
Well, you see, I'm a bit new round here. I was supposed to take Lady Portlock to breakfast then.
Who has a dog?
Yeah, a sloppy-looking thing that scratches the paint everywhere. Only I got her suite mixed up with this one, that's all. Number 24. Morning, Lady Portlock. Still asleep, the old trout. Shall I draw the curtains, Lady Portlock? Yeah, I hope that isn't too light for you. I bought your porridge, bacon and eggs. Lady Portlock. Lummy, she's dead.
It must have been something of a shock for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it certainly gave me a turn. Anyway, I rushes off to find Mr. Winter.
No one saw you come in? No one saw you go out?
No.
What is the number of Lady Portlock's room?
Why, it's...
34, Dr. Morell.
Yeah, that's it. It's on the floor above.
And you mistook this suite for hers?
Yeah, I know. It's, well, just one of them mental tricks.
I understand.
Well, will that be all, sir?
You may go.
Thanks.
Dr. Morell, I have just thought of something.
What is it, mademoiselle?
This book. It was the one the Baroness was reading.
I had already noticed it.
But you have seen where it is open. It has been underlined in pencil. Et maintenant, la dernière de mes amies est partie.
I know, yes, I know. Miss Frail very kindly translated.
Then, do you see the significance of it?
Not especially.
Well, what is it, mademoiselle?
But do you not know? Baroness Beauville has been very depressed these last few days, ever since she received news of her brother's death in California. He was her last surviving relative. Don't you see, Doctor?
Oh, you think that was what she meant when she underlined that in the book?
That is exactly what I mean. I'm sure she did it deliberately.
Dr. Morell.
If you will take a glance, Miss Frail, you will see that there are many other passages in this book similarly marked.
Oh, may I look, Mademoiselle Roland?
Of course.
Why, yes. Yes, this page is marked, and there's something underlined here.
I'm sure with your excellent command of the language, you will agree that these other marked passages have no significance.
La maison est tranquille maintenant. Le soir descend. Yes, it's obviously just something she marked for reasons of her own.
A form of eccentricity in which many readers indulge.
It is true, the Baroness was becoming a little eccentric. Now, I'm sorry that I have been rather sharp with her lately.
Ah, well, old people can become an irritation.
Ah, but one should not let them get on one's nerves. Only, I try to be so businesslike myself.
I know. I once heard the Baroness saying to Mr. Winter how very efficient you were.
Thank you. But I should not have overlooked the fact that she was old. Her mind was a little woolly.
Well, I'm sure you looked after her very well.
Oh, I should have been more even-tempered. But my nerves have been a little on edge. Oh, poor Baroness.
So, Dr. Morel, it seems that it was an accident, all right. You see, Mademoiselle Roland, Mr. Winter was a little worried, too, that it was, that the Baroness...
I am positive that she did not take her own life.
How do you know?
When Baroness Beauville found that her alarm clock had stopped so that she couldn't be sure of waking at her usual time, she asked the switchboard to give her an alarm call. She would hardly have gone to that trouble if she was about to commit suicide.
Of course. It was an accident. That's what you mean, isn't it, Doctor? She took a second lot of sleeping tablets, forgetting that she'd taken some before.
It was not an accident, either.
What?
But it must have been.
Never in all my experience have I known anyone to take an overdose of sleeping tablets by mistake. It is a popular notion, but in fact it is invariably a premeditated act.
But you've just said it wasn't suicide.
Quite, Miss Frail.
Then, if it wasn't an accident, and she didn't take her own life...
One other conclusion only remains. Murder.
Murder?
But this is madness. Who would want to murder her?
Dr. Morel.
What is it?
Listen. Listen. There's someone in the next room. I can hear moving about as if it is somebody. Doctor, it can't be.
The Baroness? It would be most interesting, not to say a miracle.
Oh, I'm frightened. Who can it be, Doctor?
One way to answer that question is to go and see.
Doctor.
Yes, Miss Frail?
You don't know who it may be.
I find your concern for my welfare quite touching.
There is someone. Don't go in there, Doctor.
It would appear to be unnecessary. Whoever it is coming out here.
There you are.
Oh, Mr. Winter.
We thought it was...
Why, did I startle you?
Well, we heard someone in there.
Well, I thought I heard the sound of somebody myself as I passed the bedroom door in the corridor. I went in, but it wasn't anything. Forgive me if I scared you.
There is always a natural explanation for what might appear to be supernatural.
I met the waiter. I hope you got all you wanted out of him, Dr. Morel.
He was most informative.
Good. I asked him to bring some coffee.
You're very kind.
Thank you. Mr. Winter, I'm afraid that...
What is it? Has something happened?
Oh, it's too dreadful.
The Baroness, Dr. Morel, thinks that she was murdered.
What?
I don't think, Miss Frail. I know.
Well, this is simply ghastly. What do we do?
Telephone the police.
The police? But, well, I mean, how do you know it's murder? Who did it? Come in.
I'm sorry, sir, but...
Oh, what is it?
Well, you did say coffee for four, didn't you?
I told you there were four of us.
Well, I'm very sorry, sir, but I'm a bit confused. The shock, I still haven't got over seeing her.
Oh, there. Yes, all right. Get the coffee, will you?
Yes, sir, right away, Mr. Winter.
Just a moment.
Yes, sir?
Perhaps you would take me down in the lift.
Yes, sir.
If you'll forgive me for a few moments, I want to speak to reception.
Of course, Doctor. We'll wait here.
Shall I come with you, Doctor?
I think I can manage, Miss Frail.
Well, the lift's this way, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, this is a fine carry-on, isn't it, Doctor? Poor old girl. Fancy a thing like that happening to her.
In the midst of life, we are in death.
Eh? Oh, yeah. Here, I don't mind telling you something.
Don't you?
You see, I'm a bit worried.
In what way?
Well, I'm afraid Mr. Winter suspects me of having bumped her off or something.
Whatever makes you think that?
Well, you know what suspicious minds people have, and he wouldn't mind getting one in at me.
You mean he has a motive for revenge?
Well, I knew him at the job he had before he come here.
You were both employed at the same hotel?
Yeah, Geneva. In Switzerland.
Yes, sir.
The Baroness stayed there too for a bit. But as I was saying about Mr. Winter, there was some funny business at this other place, and he left.
What do you mean by funny business?
Well, I don't know exactly. It was all hushed up. But I do know he went all of a sudden. Here, I'll press the lift button, sir. Oh, I didn't notice the lift was here all the time. Right, Doctor.
Thank you.
What's happened?
It would appear that there is no lift.
Blimey. Well, you might have fallen clean down the shaft.
That was rather what I was thinking.
I knew this would happen. I kept on telling them this old lift's a death trap. Well, the door's opened all right, so I thought the lift was there. Oh, That put me in a cold sweat.
Never mind. It's only a matter of a few stairs down. I'll walk.
Well, you're a cool customer, Doctor, and no mistake. I better go and tell Mr. Winter before there really is an accident. You might have been killed.
Is something wrong?
Oh, you're there, sir. I didn't hear you.
What's the matter, Dr. Morrell?
Nothing serious yet.
Now, it's this blooming... Oh, it's the lift, sir.
Yes, yes.
Well, I pressed the button and the doors opened, like you see, and Dr. Morrell was about to step in.
Good.
Only there was no lift.
Good heavens, Dr. Morrell. Why, you might have fallen to your death.
It is quite a drop.
I'm most terribly sorry.
Well, it's so old, Mr. Winter. I've complained about it two or three times.
All right, leave it to me.
Yes, sir.
Go along and get that coffee.
Very good, sir.
I'll continue on my way.
This is most distressing. I can't tell you how it's upset me.
It might have upset me.
Dr. Morrell, I came after you because... Well, that is to say,
Your intuition warned you that something like this might happen?
Not that exactly. There was something I wanted to tell the waiter, but it's completely escaped my mind.
Then it couldn't have been very important, could it?
I'm afraid this business about Baroness Beauville has rather shaken me. My head's spinning round.
I understand perfectly.
And now this lift business. Oh, excuse me a moment. Oh, Dr. Morrell.
Yes?
I just wanted to make sure that waiter wasn't hanging about trying to listen.
You appear to have something on your mind.
Perhaps I shouldn't mention this, but...
Whenever anybody says that to me, it inevitably means that they should and will.
Yes, of course, you're right. It's about the waiter.
He seems to be finding himself curiously involved with disaster.
Not a very good type. It was the manager who took him on, and I didn't like to say what I knew about him.
What did you know about him?
I recognized him when he applied for the job. He was at the same hotel I was at before I came here.
At Geneva, in Switzerland?
Yes. Well, how did you know?
Well, he happened to pass on that information to me just now.
Did he? Did he happen to mention that he was kicked out because one of the residents complained about him? That he'd stolen some money from our bedroom?
I rather fancy that had eluded his memory.
I'll bet it had. Although, I must admit, nothing was proved against him. The woman was an eccentric and may have made it all up. That's why I kept quiet when he came here for a job.
Well, that was very generous-minded of you.
But he's a shifty-eyed specimen, and not even a very good waiter. What else did he have to say?
Well, his story was exactly the reverse of yours. According to him, it was you who left under a cloud.
He told you that? Well, of all...
Now, don't let it concern you unduly. I've already dismissed it from my mind. It has no bearing on the present situation.
Yes, that's all very well, but...
You can explain the matter to the manager and leave him to take whatever action he thinks proper.
Yes, but there's something else. My reason for being in Baroness Beauville's bedroom just now.
You said you thought you heard someone.
No, it wasn't that. The truth is, I saw the waiter go in through the door from the corridor after he had left you.
Indeed?
I waited round the corner until he came out again. Then I appeared, pretending I had...
When you yourself went into the bedroom?
It seemed the same as it had been before. But what was he doing there? I thought it suspicious. Only I didn't want to mention it before the others.
Quite the model of discretion, Mr. Winter, aren't you?
What was he nosing around for?
Possibly merely because he's inquisitive, with a tendency towards the morbid. Not an unusual or unknown characteristic.
Oh. Oh, perhaps you're right, Doctor.
Miss Frail will inform you that I make a practice of it, Mr. Winter.
And do you have to call in the police?
Certainly.
Yes. Yes, I suppose you must.
Now, if you'll forgive me, I must go down to reception.
I'd better get something done about that lift.
Wigmore Hotel reception. Good morning, madam. Yes, certainly a table for two. Good morning, madam. Oh, good morning, sir. Can I help you?
I wonder if you could let me have the Baroness Beauville's mail. I am Dr. Morrell.
Oh, there weren't any letters for her this morning.
No?
Yeah, I just looked under B. There's nothing.
Just look again, will you?
Why, I...
The pigeonhole B.
Oh, there is a letter there. I must have missed that. And it's for the Baroness Beauville, too. Oh, it's nothing important. There you are.
Thank you.
Only from a theatre agency. Excuse me. Wigmore Hotel reception, yes? Oh, yes, sir. We have your reservation for next Thursday. Yes? I'll tell the manager. Good morning, sir. Or was there something else, Dr. Morrell?
Tell me, did the Baroness arrange about her alarm call last night with you?
That's right, just before I went off duty.
What time was that?
Just after 9 o'clock. She phoned down that her alarm clock had gone wrong or something, So would I give her a ring at 8?
Was that her usual time for getting up?
I didn't know about that.
When she spoke to you, did she sound quite normal?
Oh, yes, ever so normal.
She didn't give you the impression that she was at all upset?
Oh, no, she was perfectly ordinary.
Has she ever arranged for you to give her an alarm call before?
No, not that I can remember. Oh, she may have done that with the night porter. He takes over when I go off.
Thank you.
Only too glad to help, I'm sure.
Well, in that case, perhaps you'd do just one other thing for me.
What's that, Doctor?
Just get me Scotland Yard on the phone, would you?
Ah, there you are, Dr. Morell. The coffee has just arrived.
Good.
Shall I pour you some?
I was just about.
Oh, that's all right. There you are, Doctor.
Thank you.
Find out all you wanted from reception?
I think so.
And the police? You've told them?
We've had a word over the telephone.
Dr. Morell.
Yes, Miss Frayle?
There's that look on your face.
Indeed.
It may be some time since I've helped you with your cases, but I haven't forgotten that expression when you know the answer.
Do you know?
Doctor, you haven't drunk your coffee.
A pity, my dear Miss Frayle, that you've not lately had the opportunity of lending your assistance in my investigation.
I have missed working with you, I must admit.
You flatter me. Had you been, you would have appreciated the trend of my studies of the criminal mind, which have led me more and more to the conclusion that I've reached, which is that a murderer, to take an example suitable to this case, is possessed with an inner compulsion forcing him to destroy not only his victim, but himself.
How fascinating.
Your coffee, Dr. Morell.
Yes, it's getting cold.
Do go on, Doctor.
Thank you, Miss Frayle. One manifestation of this inner compulsion is the criminal's obsessive urge to return to the scene of the crime. By so doing, he may thus reveal his guilt and so accomplish his self-destruction. Now, concerning Baroness Beauville's murder, another characteristic emerges. It was revealed to me by the contents of this letter addressed to the Baroness, which I've taken the liberty of opening. It's from a ticket agency, acknowledging a phone call yesterday cancelling 2 tickets for tonight's opera. Who but the person who knew the Baroness would be unable to attend because she would be dead? Who, in fact, but her extremely efficient secretary?
Oh, no, no, Benoit!
Yes, you, Mademoiselle Roland. Winter, stop her drinking that coffee. Mademoiselle Roland!
Oh, Mademoiselle Roland.
She's collapsed.
Oh, Mademoiselle, what's happened?
You're too late, I fear, Miss Frayle. I saw her earlier in that mirror there. Drop a poison capsule in my coffee. Oh. And from the almost instantaneous effect, it must have been prussic acid.
Well, Mr. Winter, it's Scotland Yard.
No, the police,
Oh, why, it's Inspector Hood. Hello, Inspector. You remember me when I was with Dr. Morell? Hello? This is Dr. Morell's house. Oh, hello, Inspector Hood. Yes, I see. Thank you. Goodbye. That was Inspector Hood, Dr. Morell. They're holding the post-mortem this afternoon at 5:00.
Thank you, Miss Frayle.
It's quite like old times, answering your phone and chatting to Inspector Hood at Scotland Yard.
It's very kind of you to come back here with me.
I wanted to see that you had a good cup of coffee. Oh, I suppose I ought to be returning to the hotel. That was awfully interesting, what you were saying about why a person commits murder.
I'm glad it appeals to you.
All borne out, too, by what happened. Mademoiselle Roland did destroy herself. I suppose Baroness Beauville had threatened to cut her out of her will or something.
A possible motive, Miss Frayle. That will be cleared up by Scotland Yard.
And to think that she might have murdered you.
Her last desperate throw. It convinced me, of course, of what I had up till then only suspected.
But you said it was the letter from the ticket agency. The fact that she'd cancelled the tickets was proof.
On the contrary, the tickets were there. Mademoiselle Roland hadn't cancelled them. I merely bluffed her into thinking that she had.
Oh, Dr. Morell, that makes it even more marvellous. Oh, I simply can't go back to that musty old dump.
Well, as it happens, Miss Frayle, I rather fancy Miss Shawcroft may be leaving.
Oh, Dr. Morell, it would be wonderful to work for you again.
Oh. That was the first adventure of a new series featuring Ernest Dudley's famous character, Dr. Morell, and, of course, his secretary, Miss Frail. The artists taking part were Dr. Morell, Cecil Parker, Miss Frail, Sheila Sim, hotel waiter, Sidney Taffler, Mademoiselle Roland, Tonya Byrne, Anthony Winter, Hugh Manning, hotel receptionist, Molly Rankin, Miss Shawcroft, Kathleen Helm. A Case for Dr. Morell was produced for the BBC by Leslie Bridgemont.
Hello again, mystery fans. If you're enjoying this episode, please don't forget to leave me a 5-star rating. The best way to help out the podcast.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And Future Stronger You can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.
This is it. Down this side street. Up these steps. Here's the door. Now, the key. Along here, he's in his office with the light under the door.
Who is it? Who is it? Why, Paula.
Yes, Max. Paula. Remember?
Why, this is nice.
You didn't expect to see me back, did you? So soon.
Well, it's after office hours.
That's right, Max. No one around.
What's on your mind?
Do I have to draw a map?
What the...
Don't move.
Where did you get that?
Stay right where you are, Max.
You wouldn't shoot. Listen, I'm sorry over the way things turned out. It's been tough for
And me. Now it's going to be tough for you.
Paula, you wouldn't... Don't... No.
The BBC presents A Case for Dr. Morell. Another adventure by Ernest Dudley, with Cecil Parker as the famous Dr. Morell and Sheila Sim as his secretary, Miss Frey. Confession of Guilt.
I thought it was a lovely evening, Dr. Morell. I have enjoyed it.
So glad, Miss Frey.
And your speech was absolutely fascinating. What a shame Inspector Hood was called away in the middle of it.
I noticed a waiter speak to him, and he left the table.
He didn't come back either.
Some urgent matter has arisen, no doubt.
Oh, he'd have been thrilled to hear all you said. Everyone else was.
Except the old diehards who didn't know what I was talking about. Oh,
yes, Dr. Morell. Oh, look, a police car.
I had already noticed it.
Outside this office? Well, I wonder... Well, I know the driver. He drives Inspector Hood.
Good evening, Miss Frail. Good evening, Dr. Morell.
Hello.
Good evening.
Is something going on?
Nothing very special. Suicide.
Oh, dear.
Have you come from the big do that Inspector Hood was at?
The legal and medical dinner.
He got called away to do this little job.
I see.
Here comes Inspector Hood now.
Hello, Miss Frail. It's sorry to have to leave in the middle of your speech, Dr. Morell.
I'm gratified to learn it was business and not boredom that was responsible.
They knew at the Yard I was near here. Makes you think. How many cases can you recall, Dr. Morell, where the suicide shoots himself through the heart? It's always the head, in my experience.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
This chap had sat at his desk, typed out a note to his wife and then pull a bullet through his heart.
I do recall a case on the continent where a man shot himself in that manner.
Yes, that may explain it. He lived abroad, I believe. Yes, thanks for the tip.
Not at all.
I'll read your speech in full in the papers tomorrow. Hello, Sarge.
Good morning, Inspector. I just come from Mrs. Power's flat.
Did you get much?
She's still overcome with shock and the rest of it.
Yeah, it's only natural.
She could offer no reason why her husband had committed suicide.
No business worries?
No. She made it obvious he was loaded. You should see her flat.
Nothing else?
Her doctor was there. He was Max Power's doctor, too, so I asked him if he had any ideas. All he knew was that he had a bit of a weak heart. Nothing else he could think of.
They sometimes do it for no good reason. This must be one of them, I suppose.
What is it, Inspector?
Oh, nothing, really. It's only that shooting himself through the heart. Still, he could have picked up the idea through living in France or something.
Could be.
That was what Dr. Morell seemed to think last night.
This is Dr. Morell's house. Good morning.
You don't know me, but that is... Could Dr. Morell see me?
I'm afraid the doctor's very busy.
I'm sure, but if only you would see me.
Well, if you'll hold on, I'll speak to him. What name shall I give?
Paula Webb. Miss Paula Webb.
Ah, well, just a moment, Miss Webb. I'll ask Dr. Morell.
I'm desperate. It's a matter of...
life and death. If you'll hold on, please. Someone wants an appointment, Doctor. Miss Paula Webb.
The name is unfamiliar.
You don't know her, but she sounds in a bit of a state. You've got half an hour free this afternoon.
Oh, very well.
I'll tell her. Miss Webb, Dr. Morell can see you this afternoon at... Hello? Are you there? Miss Webb. Oh, well, I'm blessed. She's gone. Miss Webb. Ah, she's hung up. What an extraordinary way to behave. Don't you think so, Doctor?
What is extraordinary, Miss Frail, is that you should be surprised. If you could manage to concentrate your attention on these notes of mine, I should be obliged.
Why didn't I have the courage? Why did I ring off like that? Perhaps it never happened. It was only some dreadful nightmare. The police couldn't have made a mistake like that. That's what it says in the papers. Max Powers was found dead in his Park Lane office last night. An automatic pistol was found by his side. Mr. Powers had left a letter addressed to his wife. Max Powers built up the Mayfair fashion house with which his name was associated until it rivaled the most... Oh, there it is. If only I could believe it, but I can't. I must tell someone or I shall go crazy. I can't phone Dr. Morell again. I can't. But I've got to see him. I've got to get this off my mind.
Oh, good afternoon.
I'm Paula Webb.
Paula Webb? Oh, why, it was you who phoned this morning.
Yes. Can I see him?
Dr. Morell? No.
Please make him.
I make him? You don't know Dr. Morell.
If I'd phoned, I should have rung off again.
Well, perhaps you'd better come in.
Thank you.
Miss Webb?
Yes?
You will stay there. I mean, after that phone business, I don't want to tell Dr. Morell you're here and then...
I won't run away. I promise.
Oh, well, that's all right then. Oh, dear, I know he'll bite my head off.
Since a clear understanding of the results of the lie detector technique depends upon a recognition of the various blood pressure and respiration changes recorded by the instrument.
Dr. Morell, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but...
What is it?
It's Miss Webb.
While the lie detector records certain bodily changes, which may or may not be... Whom did you say, Miss Frail?
Miss Paula Webb.
Has she an appointment?
Well, not exactly.
Well, either she has or she hasn't.
Well, she phoned about it this morning, but she didn't wait and she rang off again.
Very well. I will allow myself to be persuaded by you.
You'll see her? Oh, thank you. I'll go and tell her. She'll be so...
Just relax, Miss Webb. Relax.
Yes, Doctor.
And tell me quite quietly from the beginning.
I went to work for Max Powers 2 years ago. I didn't realize that he had a wife. When I did find out, he told me he would soon be free and he could marry me. Then about a week ago, I discovered there was someone else. I can't tell you what it did to me.
On the contrary, Miss Webb, you are telling me. Proceed.
Last night I made up my mind. He often worked late at Park Lane, and I had a key to the back way in. I went there at the time I knew he'd be alone. His office was big and luxurious, where he entertained buyers and business people. It was next to his secretary's office. There was a light showing under his door.
Who is it? Who is it? Why, Paula.
Yes, Max. Paula. Remember?
Why, this is nice.
You didn't expect to see me back, did you? So soon.
Well, it's after office hours.
That's right, Max. No one around.
What's on your mind?
Do I have to draw a map?
What the...
Don't move.
Where did you get that?
Stay right where you are, Max.
You wouldn't shoot. Listen, I'm sorry over the way things turned out. It's been tough for you.
And now it's going to be tough for you.
Paula, you wouldn't... No!
Then he started to move towards me. He fell forward on his knees. He was staring at me as if he couldn't believe what had happened. Suddenly I panicked. All I wanted to do was get away from that. I don't remember getting home. When the morning came, I meant to give myself up to the police.
But you've changed your mind, Miss Webb.
When I read this morning's papers, it said he'd been found shot and that he'd written a letter to his wife. It was there, in the newspaper.
I happen to have read the account.
And don't you see? I shot him, yes, but he was going to kill himself anyway.
You mean that you merely performed a task he was about to perform for himself?
Well, it does make it different, doesn't it? I killed him, but he deserved to die. He planned to die. Surely, if I can escape the penalty for what I've done, I'm entitled to.
Well, as for that, I can't advise you. I'm a psychiatrist, not a lawyer. Nor am I a judge.
Please help me. What can I do?
Or is it none of these things that you require?
What do you mean?
Have you come to me because you think I will set your conscience at rest? Because you want me to tell you that it's perfectly all right for you to keep silent? You have confessed that you've taken another human being's life. You admit that you've killed a man whom you once loved and you believed loved you.
Dr. Morell, please.
You willfully murdered him, and now, because of some fortuitous chance which has completely transformed the situation, you ask me to soothe your troubled mind, smooth away your fears, so that you can go on living as if nothing has ever happened. Supposing I said that you must go to the police and tell them what you've told me. What then, Miss Webb?
I don't know. You don't understand. He drove me to it.
After you shot him and he fell to the floor, did you touch the body?
No, I couldn't have touched him.
As a matter of interest, Miss Webb, how did the gun come into your possession?
I borrowed it.
From whom?
From a man. He's in the fashion business. I met him through Max.
What's his name and address?
His name's Dacre. Ellis Dacre. His address is 16 Sloane Place, off Sloane Street.
I see.
But why are you asking me all this if you're not going to help me?
It occurs to me that this matter requires proving a little more deeply.
You mean, Dr. Morell, I don't have to go to the police?
I mean, Miss Webb, that this seems to be a case for me, after all.
As I said when this inquest opened, members of the jury, you are here to inquire into the circumstances surrounding the death of Mr. Max Powers. All the relevant witnesses have been called. You have heard all the evidence. And now it is your duty to give your verdict as representatives of the public. You've listened carefully, I'm sure. And it is quite plain how this unfortunate man met his death. Was he so tormented by some secret fear or anxiety which rendered him emotionally unstable
at the time that he decided to take his own life?
That is what you have to decide. Now, will you please retire and consider your verdict?
What do you think of it, Dr. Morell?
I imagine they won't be long reaching their verdict.
A pretty clear cut, really.
I thought you presented the facts as you saw them, plainly enough.
Thanks, Doctor. Poor Mrs. Powers has stood up to the ordeal well.
You mentioned that she'd been his secretary before she married Powers.
Yes, that was about 7 years ago, I believe.
I wonder if I might glance at the letter he wrote to her.
Yes. Here it is.
Thank you.
He left it there in the machine after he typed it.
Yeah. I can't go on any longer. Life has become too much for me. I just can't take it anymore. There's nothing left but this way out. Goodbye, darling. Max.
Some secret worry or something got him down.
So it would appear. Odd spelling, that. Did you notice?
Where? Oh, that word. He must have forgotten to add the E. Yes, you were right, Dr. Morell. The jury haven't taken long.
Mrs. Powers has gone very pale.
Members of the jury, have you considered your verdict?
Yes, sir. We find that Max Powers killed himself while the balance of his mind was disturbed.
Mrs. Powers, are you all right? Let me help you.
She's fainted, Dr. Morell?
Yes.
It's been pretty grim for her, poor thing.
Open that window, will you? Get some air to her.
Hello? This is Dr. Morell's house? No, he's not. Yes, he's gone to the inquest. All right. Dr. Morell, you're back.
Observant of you.
Those newspaper reporters have never stopped phoning. Was the verdict suicide?
Well, that was a foregone conclusion. The coroner not being in possession of certain facts known to us.
I've had an idea.
Some coffee, Miss Frail, don't you think?
I'll get some, but first I must tell you.
Miss Frail, no doubt your theory is most absorbing, but...
Oh, well, of course, if you'd rather not know the answer, I don't want to force it on you. I mean, just plod on in your own way.
Thank you. Now, I want to make a few notes. And then perhaps I could have some coffee.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm ready to take notes.
At the inquest this morning, Inspector Hood reaffirmed what he'd mentioned to us in Park Lane the night before last, making crystal clear what I'd already surmised, which was that Max Powers was found not in his own office, but in his secretary's adjoining.
Obviously.
And on the face of it, that he had taken his own life.
Yes, but...
I am gratified that you agree with me. But against this apparently indisputable evidence, we have Miss Webb's revelations.
But it's so perfectly simple. She made the whole thing up. She's madly infatuated with him. She got this guilt complex because of the wife.
Well, this is fascinating. You appear to have overlooked the fact that Miss Webb's action was premeditated. She borrowed a gun for the purpose.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Every word of her account rings true. That is where its significance lies. She described how she shot Powers in his office. He fell to the floor, and yet he was discovered at the desk in his secretary's office next door.
Then, Dr. Morell, who moved the body?
And why?
I've just thought of something. She did fire at him, as she said, but she missed.
I had considered that possibility and rejected it.
Oh dear.
There would have been visible damage caused by the bullet. The police found only one bullet in the deceased.
Oh, I just don't understand it.
Which reminds me, since I'm not going to get that coffee...
Oh, Doctor.
It's too late now. There's something more pressing. Yes, I think perhaps you'd better accompany me.
Where are we going?
To 16 Sloane Place.
That's where Ellis Dacre lives. The man who lent her the gun.
Precisely, my dear Miss Frail.
How dumb of me not to recognize you at once, Dr. Morell. I've heard and read a lot about you.
This is Miss Frail, my secretary.
How do you do?
Delighted to meet you, Miss Frail.
What a charming photograph you have there.
Why, it's her.
Paula Webb. You know her?
We have met.
I see. Is it on account of her that you're here?
You're quite the mind reader, Mr. Dacre.
What is this about Paula?
I understand you lent her a revolver.
So that's it. You're not telling me she's made a fool of herself with it.
Didn't you think it was risky to lend Miss Webb a loaded revolver?
Do you think so? She asked me, so I lent her one. A Smith & Wesson Centennial. It fires a .38 caliber cartridge. If that's what you've come to ask, there it is. And see these cartridges?
These are what you gave her to use?
That's right.
I see. Most illuminating.
I let her have 3 rounds. She admitted she didn't know a great deal about handling a revolver, but I imagined it would give her confidence.
Most thoughtful of you. You were acquainted with Max Powers, were you not?
Paula has been talking to you. Yes, I knew him and his wife. Why?
As you say, Miss Webb has been talking.
Is she trying to say it wasn't suicide, that someone bumped him off?
What makes you think that idea might have occurred to her?
Listen, Dr. Morell, you didn't call here just to chat about Paula Webb or my collection of pistols. Max Powers was a first-rate heel, and if someone's murdered him and got away with it, good luck to them. I wish I could have done it. Anything else I can tell you before you go?
You've been most informative.
Only too glad. Goodbye, Miss Trail.
No, goodbye, Mr. Dacre.
Goodbye, Dr. Morell. Or should we say au revoir?
That rather depends upon events.
So we'll just make it so long, eh?
You didn't breathe a word to him, Dr. Morell. How she could think she'd shot him when all the time she hadn't.
It was that somewhat mystifying feature which prompted the visit to Dacre.
Who told you nothing, except that he had lent her the gun, and that he took a dim view of Max Powers.
It was not so much what he said, but what I saw.
Well, I didn't see anything. It was a beautiful flat, and, well, there was her photo, and all those guns.
He confirmed it was the firearm which she described.
Which you never told him she'd lost. Anyway, he's got plenty more.
What interested me were the cartridges which he'd given her.
Well, I didn't bother to look at those.
Had you done so, even you might have noticed one stimulating fact about them.
All right, Dr. Morell, what was it?
They were blanks, Miss Frail.
Oh, Miss Webb.
I've got to see him.
But, oh, Miss Webb, come back. Oh, Dr. Morell will be annoyed.
Here in the early evening paper, the Stop Press, look. 4 p.m. news, new turn in Park Lane death. Understood Scotland Yard not satisfied with results of earlier inquiries into death of Max Powers of Mayfair Fashion House, found shot in his office 3 nights ago. As a result of information received, renewed investigations being made into circumstances of the tragedy. The police have found out that he was murdered after all.
Oh, I'm glad you called, Miss Webb. There are 1 or 2 matters I think you might care to know about.
What have you done?
Well, if your anxiety is on account of that newspaper report, you may relax.
But the only person who could have made them change their mind is you. I came to see you for help, and all you've done
now, let me assure you that your own situation is in no way jeopardized.
Oh, Dr. Morell, I'm so sorry,
Miss Frail, what was it I was to explain to Miss Webb?
Oh, you mean about...
You couldn't be more explicit. What Miss Frail means is that it was impossible for you to have killed Max Powers.
But I shot him.
No, no, Dr. Morell's right. Mr. Dacre only gave you blank cartridges.
Blank cartridges? Mm.
He thought you might get into trouble, so when you fired them, they were only blanks.
But I saw him fall.
He merely fainted from shock. When he recovered consciousness, someone else took a hand.
Someone else killed him?
That is the most logical explanation. Now, Miss Frail, take Miss Webb into the other room. I have some phone calls to make.
Yes, Dr. Morell.
I can't believe...
Come along. I'll make you a cup of tea.
Oh, Miss Frail.
Yes, Doctor?
You may care to accompany me on a visit I shall be paying tonight.
Oh, yes. Come along, Miss Webb. You've been under a great stress, but it's all over.
Now, first, Inspector Hood, and then... Taxi.
Where to?
Archway House, Park Lane, please.
Thank you, Miss Brayle.
I don't think anything will go wrong.
I fail to see why. The trap has been carefully baited.
And they'll walk right into it?
It's a matter of process of elimination. The motive fits and the opportunity. Above all else, who would have thought of typing that farewell letter?
Anyway, we shall know for certain in a little while.
Uh,
This corner, please, driver.
Thank you, sir.
These are the steps to the back way in. You got the key? Ooh, it's very dark.
Would you prefer it if I left you here?
Oh, no. I'll come with you.
I'm flattered by your trust in me.
The office will be this way. Oh, it's awfully eerie. This is the door. I suppose we can't switch on the light.
You suppose right.
What do we do now?
Wait.
Oh, I didn't know it was going to be quiet like this.
Shh, quiet.
What is it?
Yes.
Footsteps. Oh, it's you, Inspector Hood.
Hello, so you got here before me.
You know exactly how events will proceed.
Yes, thanks to you.
Better put out that light again.
Right.
I mentioned him, Dr. Morell.
He is part of the trap.
Listen, he must be them this time.
Is anyone there?
It's her.
All right, Hood.
Good evening, Mrs. Flowers.
What is this? Why, you're Dr. Morell.
I regret having to disappoint you.
So it was you who phoned me. You who pretended you thought you could blackmail me.
I had to get you here by hook or by crook.
You've got nothing to be afraid of.
So what have you got me here for?
Just to type a little letter.
What are you talking about?
You can type, can't you?
Even with your gloves on, in order not to leave any fingerprints.
I don't know what you're getting at.
I'll tell you what to put. Just a very brief letter. Miss Frail, put some paper in the machine.
Yes, Doctor.
It's up to you, Mrs. Powers. If you're innocent, you've got nothing to fear.
Of course I'm innocent. Max killed himself.
Then take a letter.
Very well.
I can't go on any longer. Stop. Life has become too much for me. I guess I just can't take it anymore. Stop. There's nothing left but this way out. Stop. Goodbye, darling. Max.
This is what he wrote.
Is it? Isn't it what you wrote? Good. There it is again.
Goodbye, darling. And you've typed it the same way. G-O-O-D-B-Y without the E.
What do you mean? I've always...
Exactly, Mrs. Powers. You've always spelled goodbye without the final E.
I like walking along Park Lane at night, don't you, Doctor?
The fresh air is certainly welcome.
After all that went on in that office, you mean. And you don't think Dacre knew?
I believe he suspected, but he obviously felt that our husband deserved what he got.
Anyway, it's for Inspector Hood to sort out. You've done your part.
Thank you, Miss Frail.
All because she discovered about Paula Webb. I must say, I still don't know how you were so sure it was Mrs. Powers.
I wasn't. Although a number of facts began to emerge which pointed to her, the jealous wife, obviously. Her reaction to the verdict at the inquest, did she faint at the knowledge that she was unsuspected? Then I telephoned her, masquerading as someone who had discovered the truth and that she would have to buy my silence. When she agreed to talk it over with me, I was shocked.
Fancy her meeting you at the very place where she shot her husband.
Don't you understand, my dear Miss Frail?
Of course I do, Dr. Morell. How do you mean?
She had to return to the scene of her crime. Like any other criminal, she found herself subconsciously impelled to give herself away.
Oh, I see.
She had to confess. Just as with any criminal, an inner compulsion forced Mrs. Powers to bring upon herself her own doom.
Thank you.
That was another adventure in a BBC series featuring Ernest Dudley's famous character, Dr. Morell, and, of course, his secretary, Miss Frey. The artists taking part were Dr. Morell, Cecil Parker, Miss Frail, Sheila Sim, Inspector Hood, Philip Ray, Paula Webb, Mary Law. Other parts were played by Maurice Sweden, Norman Wynne, Hugh Manning, Betty Linton, and Alan McClellan. This recorded program was produced by Leslie Bridgemont.
Listening, and please don't forget to follow, review, and rate.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say ahoy or land ho and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. Geico's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with Geico.